The Jews that were around were in the camp, in that camp, okay? We were 1,000 people in that camp working for the Germans. And that's where we slept, and that's where we lived. And every morning we went to the airport, and like in marching to the airport like soldiers, and back. And the food, we got food there and everything else. Not enough, as I said, and not good. And we were there. Well, of course, all kinds of things happened in the interim. You know, killing always went on, sabotage, people ran away, people had some guns, and the Germans came to look for the guns and killed some people. All kinds of things. They hung some people. Throughout the 4 years, it was unbelievable. Up until 19, we stayed there up until July 1944, when the Russians came close to where we are, okay? And at that point, the Germans had left. They were leaving and had left. And we were supposed to be liberated by the Russians. But we had a leader, a camp leader, a Jewish camp leader, who was from Vienna. He had his family there and all. And he did not want to be liberated with us because he was afraid that some people will kill him. Because, you know, all kinds of things happened over the years. If they asked for six people to be killed and he bargained down for 2-3, he still had to deliver 3. You know, I'm just giving you an example. He could not be, he was not safe, you know. He was not safe. So what he did, he managed to organize enough German soldiers, and managed to get a train, and we had to be loaded on the train, and from there we went west to a city called Częstochowa, which is a Polish city for the Black Madonna, but they also have over there a lot of industry. And so we worked over there till January. This was from July to January. In January, the Russians came close to that, and we see them, the bullets were flying overnight. You could see and the explosions, cannons and all that. So the Russians were there, and we were supposed to be liberated there. There were 3 camps. 2 of them were liberated by the Russians. Me with my camp, because we were all men, they took us to Buchenwald. And now the fun started. So now we're in Buchenwald. And at first Buchenwald, we were afraid of Buchenwald, but it turned out not so bad because nobody bothered us, didn't ask us to do anything at first. This was in January 1945. And so they're looking for volunteers. I do not like to volunteer. I never like to volunteer for anything. I didn't trust them. But this time, we did nothing already for a week or so. And I figured, okay, let me try. So I volunteered. They took us to a train to unload, open up this unload. Turned out 40 wagons full of dead people to unload. So we unloaded that. And now, I'm just giving you an overview, otherwise I would be sitting here for 24 hours or more, making this very... So after that, they sent me, I was still with my brothers together, mind you. After that, somehow they sent me, they separated me from my brothers, and then sent me to another place. And I tried to intervene, you know, I figured there must be something that can be done. And I tried this or that. I tried to talk to some people. I had to go. I went. When I arrived at the other place called Triglitz, Triglitz is not listed anywhere. They never found it yet, mind you. And I when I came to Triglitz, we were about several hundred people. The same amount of dead people we had to load on the same wagons going back to Buchenwald, because to be burned at the crematorium there. The weather was, February. The weather cold, like unbelievable. If you know a little bit about the history and the Battle of the Bulge in Belgium and Holland, that was the same winter, okay? They talk about that winter. It was just impossible, and we are in pajamas. Well, I wasn't. I was not in pajamas because I had my original suit on. My original suit was that's going back to the first Seder, to the last Seder that I was with my family. My mother asked me what I would like for Passover. So I said, a suit. So she had a suit made for me by a tailor. Those days she didn't go buy ready-made. A tailor made double-breasted blue. And a beautiful suit. She was so very proud to look at, to see me in that suit sitting at the Seder table, you know. That's the suit I had on all throughout the entire war. Can you imagine? I slept in it, worked in it, everything in it. No change ever. Hardly changed. And in a way, I was lucky because the winter was so cold, and they were in pajamas, these striped pajamas, and I was in that suit, which is. In a way, it was good. It was full of lice, but better than getting frozen. So was everybody else. Lice was an ordinary thing. So it was cold like hell. And now we went to this place called Triglitz. And over there, we worked like unbelievable. We dug tunnels for the Germans, and they were beating us while we were working like crazy. Pushing us, people were dying daily. We had to carry people back from the work site back to the camp, and they gave us very the food was a piece of bread about this size, people said this wasn't even made out of flour. It was sawdust. Who the heck knows what it was? And then they had soup, which was warm water with something floating around like a leaf here and there. Who the heck knows? It was not food. And we had to work like hell, walk to the work site every day for miles. And, well, there were situations. There was one situation when we worked. I understood what they tried to do, how to do build the tunnels, because with my background of woodworking and all this, I understood. Most of these guys, not only didn't they understand, but they were half dead. They didn't get from. You should see there were nothing but bones. I mean, if you look at them, they were not. I mean, they were. They couldn't care less. If you hit them, you don't hit them. You know, they walk. I mean, it just these people were walking death. So I said to the sergeant, I said, you know, instead of you beating us, these says beating us, and we're not accomplishing anything, I will guarantee you that we will do X amount every day, every night, and you leave us alone. Don't beat us. Don't be even here. Just don't let the SS, the Gestapo guys be here." So he said, "Okay." I took on something that was ridiculous because these guys cannot do any work. They just can't. Okay. So I worked like unbelievable. I had a couple of guys who did help, but most of them could not. And one of the guys managed to keep the bread, that piece of bread that we got in the morning, because we worked at night. But we got in the morning on the way back from work. He kept it all day while we were sleeping, and then to eat it while he is working. As soon as I got it, I was hungry. I ate it immediately, and that was it. No, he did it the other way around. So while he was sort of licking the bread like ice cream, and one of these bad Gestapo guys came over and took the bread out of his hands, ripped it away, and gave him a beating. And I had an agreement that he's not supposed to be there. So I was a little meshuggah, I must say. So I went over and I said to the SS guy, "Why, you have no right to be here in the first place. You have no right to take his bread. Give it back to him." So I grabbed a piece of bread out of his hands, and the guy was going to take the gun. He was ready, and before I could see that, so I gave him a shot in his nose, right like this, and he fell down. And I ran to that sergeant who was responsible. He was sleeping, and I told him the story. He says, "Okay, I'll take care of him." I was not sure, and I was not safe anymore because this guy, he was ready to kill me. So that's one of the stupidities that I did, which I'll never forget. Anyway, over there, we worked like this for quite some time, and it was still cold, very cold, when they took us from there to another place, on a train to another place. And on the way, I escaped because people were dying, and like flies, we had to dig graves and dug, and the frozen, the ground was frozen. We had to do it. It was hard work, and there's no food, and we didn't think we're gonna survive this. There's no way. So a Russian guy came over to me. He was a soldier. I don't know how he got to our camp. He was a prisoner of war. He was a trained soldier, and trained soldier in the war is a killer, you know. So he says, "Let's go. Let's escape. There's no sense in being here. He will not survive it." I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "I'm ready too. Let's go."